coming out of the restaurant to celebrate his birthday. He said to me, "Sometimes I've just had enough. Sometimes I need to get away from it all. Turn on the TV with all its disconcerting or even frightening news. Turn off my computer. Turn off my phone. Retreat. Close the door and put up a do not disturb sign. Hike a trail in a remote area. Take a break. Sometimes I can't even deal with the people I dearly love. Say, sometimes I need a space or a time of sanctuary, a space or time when I can just breathe, pray, and recharge my physical, emotional, and spiritual battery. Have we ever felt that way? I think it's only natural that we need these spaces and times of sanctuary. There's so much that goes on in our lives. We have to deal with so many things on a day-to-day basis. We are overwhelmed by so many issues around us and in the world. We experience sensory overload every day. Sometimes we seem to give and give, be it care or help or attention, until we feel depleted. Then it's time to push the reset button. Whenever you are on a plane, as soon as you take off, they start giving you instructions. And they tell you that no matter how many times you have heard this, listen. One of the instructions that I vividly remember is, put on your oxygen mask before assisting others. And there is some wisdom in that. Even Jesus wasn't immune to feeling overwhelmed. There are many instances in the gospel stories when Jesus retreats, gets away from it all, prays, and recharges his battery. A human being, after all, can only do so much. This is not a retirement speech. Don't look so sad. In today's gospel account, Jesus retreats. He took with him Peter and John and James and led them up a high mountain by themselves. It seems that Jesus needs to get away from it all. And what better place to get away from it all than a mountain top? And he chose only his closest confidence to go with him. This retreat comes as a turning point in Jesus' ministry. And coincidentally or not, this happens about halfway through the gospel according to Matthew. For months, Jesus has been traveling the Galilean countryside with occasional forays beyond its borders, preaching, healing, and performing miracles, proclaiming and living the kingdom of God coming near. But then the focus and the mood shift, it all starts when some Pharisees and Sadducees ask Jesus for a sign from heaven, basically questioning his authority. Who are you, Jesus? This must lead to some sort of self-reflection on him. For shortly thereafter, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am? Or who do the people say the Son of Man is? And you yourselves, who do you say that I am?" Peter gives a clear and inspired answer. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But what does this mean? It seems that Jesus, in reflecting on this question, in reflecting on his identity, in reflecting on who he is, eventually figures out what he is to do. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. From now on, as we begin on Wednesday, the way is to Jerusalem and to the cross. That's heavy stuff for Jesus and his followers. Peter, who has just declared Jesus to be the Messiah, can't take it. He tries to dissuade Jesus from taking this route. He says, God forbid it. Lord, this must never happen to you. And Jesus, who is tempted to give in to Peter's idea of a Messiah who doesn't have to suffer and die, rebukes Peter with the famous words, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me." Consequently, Jesus teaches his followers about their need and their responsibility to take up their cross and give their lives away for the sake of God and for the sake of others. And shortly after all that, 6 days later to be exact, Jesus escaped to the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John. God rested on the seventh day, and so does Jesus. And who wouldn't be mentally and spiritually and maybe physically exhausted after all that work? Up there, on the mountaintop, the amazing thing happens. Jesus is transfigured before his disciples' eyes. His face shines like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets of the old covenant, appeared there with Jesus. What a spectacle. In my home area, we have got mountains, and I've been climbing some of them. But there are so many stories that are said about these mountains. The elders believe that they are sacred. We're told that if you see anything on the mountain, don't comment, or you risk it disappearing. If you eat the fruits, enjoy them there, the wild fruits, don't bring anything down the mountain, because it's supposed to stay there, enjoy it there. There is also a very prominent mountain in Zimbabwe called Mount Inyankani. It's approximately 2,540 meters high. And you take a long and painful time to get to the top. One year I went, I was a school chaplain, and we took the school children there. I couldn't do half of it. I went back and sat in the bus and waited for them. I was also afraid they want to confess, because there are also so many stories that have been told about that mountain. And since 1960, there have been 5 disappearances. People who have disappeared without trace. The latest one having happened in 2014. When you get there, they say, don't say anything, don't comment. Even if you see a person who is not part of your group, don't comment, because those are the guardians of the mountains. There are so many stories about mountains told in different countries. I don't know if we have any stories about mountains here in Canada, if we have any stories about sacred happenings on top of mountains. But here, on this mountain, Moses and Elijah appeared there, talking with Jesus, and the disciples witnessed it. What becomes clear up there on the mountaintop is that Jesus, the Son of God, is destined to fulfill the covenant between God and God's people, and he is also destined for glory. Despite that, this journey will lead to Jerusalem, to the place of suffering and death. Whatever doubts and self-doubts Jesus, the human being, may have yet up to this point, God confirms is with his presence. There is a reason why every year the story of the transfiguration of Jesus is the last gospel we hear during the season of Epiphany, with all its symbolism about light and revelation before Ash Wednesday, and the season of Lent. The glory of Christ cannot be separated from him. Giving his life away for the sake of humanity, for the sake of creation, The story of the transfiguration describes this tension. Poor Peter, once more, doesn't seem to get it. Echoing the sentiment he had when Jesus first announced that he would suffer and die, he proclaims, after witnessing this glorious epiphany on the mountaintop, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here." He removed, far removed from the valley and the shadow of death, far removed from all the issues and struggles of those who live down there. "Lord, it is good for us to be here." It almost sounds like a plea, doesn't it? "Oh Lord, let us stay here. Let us build some dwellings. Let's get settled here." Another temptation for Jesus Christ. But one thing that is amazing about Peter is that although he says this statement of sight, he doesn't consider himself so special. When he talks about building dwellings, he says, "I will build one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus," and he forgets about himself. Sometimes when we are experiencing this wonderful thing, you can only think about others before you think of yourself. But despite this wonderful experience, they were not supposed to stay on the mountaintop. Jesus was destined to go down and finish the work that he had begun. This time, it's not Jesus who rebukes Peter, but a voice comes from heaven. "This is my son, beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. When the disciples hear this, they are overcome by fear. All the supernatural stuff that happened before, Jesus shining and the appearance of Moses and Elijah, doesn't have that effect on them. But the voice of God speaking, it frightens them. But the message itself, "Listen to him. Do what he says. Follow him down this mountaintop to Jerusalem and to the cross. Listen to him." There is nothing that evokes some sense of saying, "Have I not been responsible?" If as a young child you receive a call from your grandparents and they say, "Listen to your parents," you tend to wonder, "Have my parents reported me to the grandparents that I'm a naughty child?" Listen to him. God is saying to the disciples, "For after everything you have done, please listen to him." Now, whatever Peter had in mind is going to simply change. It's no longer possible to stay up on the mountain and bask in the eternal glory forever. They have to go down so that Jesus will do the sacrifice, so that Jesus will die on the cross. And they know where Jesus is going, and it's frightening. However, Jesus then gently touches them. "Get up and do not be afraid." I think this is such a beautiful scene. Jesus touching his friends. There is no reason to fear. What you have experienced here is real. Hang on to it, but don't be afraid. And they come down the mountain, back to where life is happening, with all its joys and sorrows and annoyances. And they are barely down in the valley again when Jesus is accosted by a man who is pleading that he heals his epileptic son. They are back to reality. Sometimes we will have these mountaintop experiences where we are in his glory. We come to church every Sunday, sometimes during the course of the week, so that we are in his presence. But we have to go back in the world. We will not stay here forever. After everything is said and done, we go and face the challenges in the world. But one encouraging thing is that we will not face those challenges alone. When they went down the mountain, Jesus did not remain on the mountain. He went down with them. So as they were moving through the streets, experiencing these challenges, Jesus was with them. So wherever we will go, Jesus is going with us. after the retreat, after the affirmation, and after the glimpse of eternal glory, Jesus has to face the reality of human experience and suffering once more. It's his ministry, and that is what he had come to do. And we are also to say, how good, Lord, it is for us to be here, here in this church, here as members of St. David's Parish, where we can gather and worship, where we and all who enter our doors can be refreshed and nourished and recharge our batteries when life is getting to us. Here we will bask in God's glory. Here we may have our little mountaintop experiences. However, being here is not the end. We still have to go out in the community and represent Christ. It is a place where we come to get more strength, to be able to do the work that is before us. Today, God is going to hold our hands, even as we get to a time when we are going to do our annual vestry meeting, as we are going to set our priorities for the coming year. Let us know that we are on the mountaintop with Jesus himself. But after all has been said and done, after the elections, there is work to be done. I'm not making you feel afraid, because definitely there is work to be done. Work has to be done. You will not do it alone. We will do it with Christ directing this church every step of the way. We want to see growth, but we have to work for that growth. We want to see unity, but we have to work for that unity. We want to see love, but we have to work for that love. Lord, it is nice that we are here today to be elected, to take up positions, to do your work. Get ready, my dear brothers and sisters. There is work to be done, and all of us are called to do that work. And we can do it with Christ leading and directing us. There is nothing to fear, because on the mountaintop, we are not going to be alone. We are going to be with Christ. Today, we receive our strength from you. We can be able to face anything that comes along our way, because we know in Jesus Christ there is glory. Probably some of us have been saying, can I get into cancer? Can I take any position? Let me say to you this morning, the voice of God is saying, this word is the work of my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to that voice as you prepare yourselves in the remaining minutes to say, Lord, here I am. I'm offering myself before you to be the church warden for 2023. We bask in his glory. And the Almighty God is going to lead us. And priorities and goals of the parish will be fulfilled according to his grace. Because we are called. And when he looks at us, he loves us. He is saying, this is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. The presence of the Lord is with us as we continue to serve him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.